Thank you, Father, that you lead us this morning. And I really just sense such a nearness this morning. And I know you're always with us, Holy Spirit. We honor you because you are faithful. Thank you for the way in which we commune with you this morning. And I pray that you'll open our hearts and that we would see you face to face, honor you, see you as holy, without sin or blemish, and transcending our limitations, set apart, yet so near in our hearts. Bless us this morning as we seek to deeply understand your word. And I pray that in the name of Jesus alone. Amen. Amen, everyone. Thanks for your time of prayer together. I just feel like such a small player in this service this morning, I must say. I'm quite overwhelmed by God's presence. And to get to stand here and preach, it almost feels like I need to get out of the way. But I sense I need to be faithful to what the Lord has given me. So bear with me this morning. I want to talk this morning on a higher view on forgiveness. We are still working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, and it's been steaks, vegetables, and all healthy things together for this congregation. Thanks for your feedback and just all the chats as we were going through this. I can really sense that strength have been brought into our congregation as we are moving verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. And so let's keep focused, let's keep stuck in, and let's go through the full journey. Amen. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or our sins, as we forgive also those. Oh, sorry, let me just read that properly. As we also have forgiven our debtors, or those who have transgressed against us. I actually preached on that part 2 weeks ago. Then last week, Pastor Andres preached on, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then interestingly, this section swings back to forgiveness. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Interesting, next week it goes to fasting. And just note where this verse 14 and 15 finds itself between two pieces of meat. Lead us not into temptation, then it goes to forgiving others. This can be tough. Hey, let's talk about fasting. You see the context where this verse lands. It's quite meaty. But now, we also touched on forgiveness when we preached. And I remember I was up that morning about, if someone sues you for your coat, also give them your tunic. If someone asks to walk a mile, walk 2 miles. Having this heart of Christ. And then forgiveness 2 weeks ago. And we're on it again. And so this morning I felt to do a little bit of a table talk. And what I felt the Lord told me is he gave me a couple of places where we might get stuck on forgiveness. And my heart is really to help us unhook and advance in full healing of forgiveness. So I want to take the topic of forgiveness and hope to take us to a higher view. Now, if we talk about the life and the death of Jesus, then most will agree that the death of Jesus on the cross, which is the means by which he granted forgiveness to the world, is the summit of his life and of his work. That is it, the moment of atonement. And all the healings he did, and all the words of love he spoke, it's all part of it. But very few theologians would say the most important thing about Jesus' life was that healing or that healing. Most would say, and would be correct to say, it is his work of forgiveness, which is the summit, and therefore all the other things are framed under it, find a place in it. He is the suffering servant who came to forgive. And it's then it makes sense how important forgiveness is also amongst us. It's spoken, the scriptures very clear about it. This focus on forgiveness was Christ's mission, but it is now given to us. It's like a gate we cannot miss. We must forgive in similar manner like him. Very important. But what we need to do is we need to climb as high up and understand forgiveness from his perspective and not from a world perspective. Because I want to tell you something. The world, the secular world, has a view on forgiveness. And some of the things that they're holding on to is not bad. Because secular counselors and psychiatrists have discovered that a person that forgives obtain what? A kind of a healing. People have discovered this that's not believers. And it shows you how God's will and ways, it's always right and true whether you are a Christian or not. But the secular view of forgiveness with all its benefit is not the high point of forgiveness. The scripture is. And so sometimes the world get stuck around forgiveness, and so do we, because we're not from this world, but we do live in the world. But I want us to get unstuck if we are stuck somewhere so that we can move on into completeness. We must attempt to, when I wrote this title, I was like in automatic mode, and I wrote the high view of forgiveness. And then I realized, no, don't be so full of pride, because I don't know everything about forgiveness. I just attempt to go higher than what the world goes. Are you with me this morning? All right. You don't know what you don't know. Just remember that. Now, I've been doing a discipleship group with a couple of guys, and they're very smart, and they're very perceptive, and they're very quick. They're taking what the scripture says, and they're going for it. But now the thing is, they're only discovering the Bible now. Now the problem is that the scripture hangs together. One of the laws of hermeneutics, or the interpretation of scripture, is that scripture interprets scripture. So if you only look at one part, today you read about God the judge. Is he a judge? Yes, he's a judge. Today you read about that, and you're like, God is a judge, God is a judge, and that is true. But in a month's time, you read about Christ, a suffering servant that forgives. You're like, oh, okay, so he's judge, but he's also the one who gives himself to be forgiven. And now the way in which God as a judge is perceived by your heart is from a perspective that he's also loving and give himself to be judged. And so what has happened is scripture has interpreted scripture, the matgemaak. Now when we rush into one part and we elevate it to the top, we might run the risk of not having the whole mat. As you met me for ochend, tik net die ou langs jou and say mat. But now I want to play with this idea a little bit. Who likes a good poikie kos? Okay, but now who's good at making a good poikie? Back yourself. You support humble mense, hulle gaan so. But there's people in our church that can make poikie, and we saw that at the camp. Isn't that true? The judges were basically fighting over a seafood and a lamb, if I remember correctly. But I've got some stuff here, and I know, I mean, this example, ek sien Jonathan kyk vir my met sulke judgment oor, want daai ou kan poikie maak, en hy's like, what is this guy going to say now? Ek gaan my best probeer, Jonathan. Does this belong in a poikie? No. That's like afterwards. But when we're talking about grasping God's view on something, it's quite easy to get something out that really does not belong there. Like we would say, forgiveness is not about making other people feel bad. Most of us would agree with that. When you go to someone to ask forgiveness or to grant forgiveness, the purpose is not to grind them to powder. So that we can take and that doesn't belong here. The problem is when you got an ingredient, but you make it the main or the only thing. This thing belongs in a poikie, a. Maak 'n poikie sonder 'n ei, ek eet nie saam nie. It belongs there, right? But it would be really foolish to say, because it's in there, this is a poiki. Okay. This is not a poiki. It's a part of a poiki. It's together that we get the stew going. So to say, so now you read one thing in the Bible, or no, it's be humble and understated in your revelation. Read on, learn on. I like this garlic. It is in the poiki, but it is not the poiki. I didn't bring a piece of meat for those who are watching to see what cut I don't know. Carrots, maybe, depending on what you're making. But these are ingredients, and together, and forgiveness, the forgiveness of God is more like the poiki than one ingredient. It is a vast topic. And we need to hang all the aspects together. But I guess you understand what I'm saying. Now, let's talk about some of the views that the world has on forgiveness, but it's also really a carrot. It's also part of Scripture, but it's not the only thing. The first view would be the personal healing view on forgiveness. This is very true. What it says is, it's this idea of, don't give the devil an opportunity. Ephesians 4:27. Forgive, don't give him an opportunity, because once you get him a foothold, bitterness will grow in your heart. Is that true? Yes, it's true. This is, hey, it's true. It would also state, this is the reason you should forgive, so that you can heal of bitterness and move on. Now we need to tread very lightly. Is it a benefit of forgiveness? Yes. Is it the main reason? We must watch out. And we'll get to that. What the problem with this is, it can take the believer, we are the believers, and put us as the main reason and the focus of forgiveness. I must forgive because I'm going to heal. And you know what that does? Let them do it. Wat sê die ouens dis daar? Let them. Doen jou ding. I will forgive you and I will heal up. Now I'm taking a part of forgiveness and I'm running the risk of forgetting other parts. We're going to get the other parts by going higher and remembering. The problem with this is, it's a limited reason. The reason for me that I must forgive you is not because it heals me. The reason is because Jesus said I must do it. One of the benefits of obeying my King is that He heals me up when I forgive. Okay, it's a change of the angle that's very important. Because we love God, we obey God, we forgive. As a result, there's many benefits, but the benefit is never the reason. Otherwise, I am starting to become the center of my life. Okay, are you with me? We're going to climb higher in a moment and put that thing where it needs to be. Right, the next ingredient, it's a partial revelation of forgiveness, is merit-based forgiveness. And I think in the church, this is not such a big struggle, but we need to talk about this, because some of us, we're new around here and we're growing. Now, Jesus did say in Luke 17, this is why I'm saying it's bit. He says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And then also 70 times 7. People say, you see what he says? If my brother repents, then I will forgive him. But if he does not repent, I will not forgive him. And so what that does, it is true, but the context is also here. We have brothers living together. Everyone understands forgiveness, and we are constantly being restored in relationship with one another. What someone does is, they take that ingredient and they say, unless they crawl, kiss my boots, I will not forgive them. And this is a weapon the world uses. Okay? Jy weet wat my man gedoen het? A, B, and C. In order for me to forgive him, he needs to crawl. He needs to suffer. I need to see his penance. If I see how sorry he is, I might find forgiveness in my heart. Obviously, you can see it's a big problem with that. Is there a place where forgiveness leads to the other person responding and saying, hey, now that you're saying it, I really want to say sorry. And that there's a great restoration in relationship? Yes. But it's not always like that. Remember, all the parts need to come together and we're going to get there. As you know, met my tikkie ou langs jou en sê poikie kos. Some of you are making plans for today. I hear your thoughts. What this is doing, it's making forgiveness conditional. And here's the thing. You will be the judge whether they have crawled long enough. Axel Beslay. You don't say it, but that's the effect of it. Okay. This one we can see it's a little bit like the chocolate. It must be tossed out. We're going to get to it. For each one of these, I'm going to help us to the higher view. This is a very tough one. We need to relate with one another. I need emotional consent to grant forgiveness. Okay, now it sounds wrong, but let's understand what these people are feeling here. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Jesus also says, forgive one another. Okay. You arrive at a situation, you're like, I don't feel love for this person. Jesus says, I must love people and I must forgive them. But if I'm really honest, I don't feel toward them. I don't love them. And so it would be disingenuous for me to forgive them. Okay. So when my heart, okay, indicates otherwise to me, I will extend forgiveness because then I will not be a hypocrite. You can see how compelling this might sound. Wanneer ek so voel, dan weet ek, ek bedoel dit. Watch out for that. Watch out, because you might be harboring unforgiveness. Is it true that often when we forgive, that it feels like there's something that drops off our shoulders? Yes, it is true. Is the process of forgiveness often very freeing and you feel like I can sleep again? Yes, it is. But watch out for putting emotional consent before forgiveness. It's a mistake. Can you see how people can get trapped there and stay there? Okay. Now what I want to do is, I want to look closely at Jesus and see if we can get all the ingredients together. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Christ-centered forgiveness is other-focused. I do get healed up from my bitterness. But everything Jesus Christ did and accomplished in this world was in service of others. It's a very big difference. And so when he is on the cross, he actually intercedes. He says, Father, you're looking down, you're seeing me in pain, I want to ask you to forgive them. Okay? What do we learn from his forgiveness? It's other-focused. Got another scripture there. I'm going to use it more than once. But he was pierced for our transgressions. You see, his work of forgiveness, I understand that a therapist in the world will tell a person, if you don't forgive your ex-husband, you will burn up in bitterness, you get stomach ulcers, and you end up dying of sickness because of that bitterness. And you know what? In one sense, they're right. But here's the thing. It's on a lower part of the mountain than biblical forgiveness. Biblical forgiveness would seek to extend forgiveness in such a way that it even touches that husband. He was pierced for our transgressions. upon him was the chastisement or the punishment that brought us peace. His work of forgiveness is aimed at us. I'll take the punishment for them. It was his work of forgiveness that brought us peace. He's other focused. And so, I just made a little picture for us. Is it true, if we go to the bottom, that forgiving heals us up? Yeah, but there's something over it. Christ-centered forgiveness is other-focused. It's the higher view. What it means is, whether I feel great tomorrow or not, that's up to God. But right now, I'm going to do what I see in Christ, and I'm going to forgive. Because that is the right thing to do. And tomorrow, some of the fruit of my obedience today in my life might be that, wow, my bitterness has really subsided. I feel a lot better. Are you with me this morning? Maybe a couple of us, we are stuck here. You've been looking at your pain towards someone that betrayed you, and you've had yourself in the middle. If you want to heal, if you want to unhook, get out of the middle. And say, God, I'm going to forgive here because it is the right thing to do. And then see the Lord works after that. Amen. I'm going to have to rush through this. Very important one. Go to the next one. The forgiveness of Jesus precedes renewal and reconciliation. Very important one. Very important one. Again, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Did I ask Jesus for forgiveness before he was crucified? Or was he crucified and extended forgiveness before I turned to him? He was willing to extend at the risk that I might never reconcile. That puts him at risk. As a human, it puts me at risk. I'm going to forgive you and you might throw a tomato back at me. In your face. That is what happens with godly forgiveness. I extend forgiveness before I know what the final renewing or reconciliation will entail, because that is the example I see from Christ. And so this is moving up higher. Now, God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, and some will remain enemies, but yet forgiveness is extended. You see that? Now, for a moment, what we need to do is we need to understand there's a difference between biblical forgiveness and reconciliation. These two hook in the same process, but they're still distinct. Just follow me here for a moment. Forgiveness is releasing someone of a debt. And it is a unilateral decision. You know what that means? It's on you alone. Okay? You need two people to be reconciled. Both parties need to agree to the process of restoration and reconciliation. But when it comes to forgiveness, it's a you decision. Okay? Which means your obedience in that sense is not dependent on other people. It's dependent on you. Are you with me? This is very important. Now, what it means is Jesus grants forgiveness. It's a unilateral decision. And for some humans, they would reciprocate that. I want to take your forgiveness, Lord. And in that instant, Jesus' work of forgiveness has resulted in a marvelous reconciliation and a love relationship. For some people, forgiveness will be extended and they will say, no thanks. In that sense, forgiveness was extended, but reconciliation and healing never happened. But Jesus, as the one who forgives, forgives unilaterally. He gives his forgiveness. I'm not saying that is easy, but that is our call. If you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, I cannot forgive you. It's a unilateral decision. You can make that decision. And this morning, I want to encourage you to walk in the shoes of Christ. Amen? Some relationships, reconciliation is not advisable. All right? Someone murdered a person. They are now in jail. You can extend forgiveness and tell that person, I just want to let you know that I have forgiven you. And those words might change their life around. But that does not mean they might be restored or reconciled into your home. That's a different process. Forgiveness is one thing, reconciliation is a different thing. Sometimes between brothers, we pray that reconciliation will always happen. But sometimes people sin against you, they're not even Christians, we forgive them. Because that's what we are told. And we experience God's favor in the process. And you know what? Maybe sometime, maybe in 10 years, though, that person comes back and say, you changed my life. Maybe they never come back. But that is not on us. And so what I want to say about this is that, oh, let me just read these two verses as well. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. So in that moment, what Jesus is saying, there's a way in which you can forgive that on the spot makes the full effect. You're coming to worship, you're remembering there is a conflict, and you don't even have to right now have to go to the other person. In that moment, you can say, Lord, I pray that you'll give me the courage right now. Okay, I forgive that person, whop, and continue your worship. But then other times, if possible, as far as depends on you, go out and find peace with that person. Forgiveness, reconciliation. Now, Jesus, when he say forgive so that your Father may forgive you, he's not putting on you the weight that you must be able to successfully reconcile all relationships. No. He's asking you to extend forgiveness. Reconciliation and healing will come from the Lord. And so I made another picture for you. So the world might say, merit-based forgiveness, if they crawl, or if they show remorse, I will forgive them. No. Scripture says the forgiveness of Jesus, it precedes any form of begging, crawling, or kissing of boots. Amen? Don't misjudge. Your husband needs to show remorse. I don't think of anyone, okay? For doing substance abuse and turn from his ways in order for you to put him back in the house. That's reconciliation. It's not forgiveness. Okay? But you can forgive him when he's still unrepentant. Very important. Two processes. I hope that helps. Because I think some of us might be stuck there. Almost done. I want to say that Jesus forgave in sorrow, but he advanced into joy. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross on which forgiveness was given. Hey, I don't feel it right now. When my heart leads me, don't let your heart be the dictator of what you should do or not. Let God be that. Lead your heart, not the other way around. If we look at the example of Jesus, we see his forgiveness came at great cost, great sorrow, and great turmoil. But because it was the right thing to do, he knew what he was advancing toward. Remember that when it's very, very tough. How do I know that I'm actually giving forgiveness? I decide that I will not bring it up to the other person anymore. I decide I will not bring the matter up with other people. And I will renew my mind so that it comes up to me less and less. Walking in forgiveness. I'm almost done, everyone. This lady here, Eva Kaur, I had her up when I was doing a previous one on forgiveness. Who remembers Eva? That picture there is a woman. When she was 12 years old, she was tortured along with her twin sister in a Nazi concentration camp. They killed the whole family, but they kept the twins alive because they were good for experimentation. That man there was one of the guards that carried her to the cage and back. Eivakor gives us an example of what it means to forgive. And you don't know what reconciliation would be like, because 70 years later, there's reconciliation and renewal. What a great example. Jesus forgave in sorrow, advanced in joy. Sometimes I've got emotional consent. I feel like I want to forgive. Other times I don't feel like it, but that's not my reason, or the thing that actions me to forgive is not my emotional state, because it goes up and down. But God is eternal and always true. And so don't feel like you are a hypocrite if you decide to forgive someone, but you feel like it still hurts your heart. Yeah, it's not a hypocrite. You are starting the forgiveness process. All right? And some of you here, you connect it to your heart, and you want to have an open heart and be honest in heart. And so this has tripped you up because you don't feel like you want to extend forgiveness. And so you hold off. What we learn from Scripture, it's okay if you don't feel like you want to do it. And when you make that decision and you forgive, and it takes a while before the heart catches up, that's normal. But be unhooked. The higher view is that you may forgive in sorrow and in turmoil. What if I'm still discovering Jesus this morning? I want to tell you about a forgiveness that has been extended to you that you may reciprocate. If we can get that last slide, we're finishing off. He was reviled. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to God who judges justly. He himself bore my sins and your sins on his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. There's the invitation. But before I decided to respond, he did forgive, waiting for my response. By his wounds you have been healed. You were straying, but you have an opportunity to return. Because this forgiveness breaks so deep into the heart of a believer, it is expected of us that this type of forgiveness be extended to the world around us. Amen. I want to pray for us this morning. Father, this morning, I pray that this very heavy, but also real topic, this is something we are faced with in our lives. Every person in here, I pray that by your Spirit, you will help us respond well to you. I want to ask you to stand this morning if you are healthy and able. Can we just stand up in this place? I just feel that the Lord wants to move us spiritually, but also in the natural. What is the Lord saying to you this morning? I really feel, since I started with this, that the Holy Spirit wants to help some people over the line this morning. And we want to pray with you and help you with this. Get you unstuck. Holy Spirit, do your work in this place this morning. Help us to obey. Yes, walk into fullness and experience the peace of obeying you. But I especially pray for those who need to take a step of obedience. But it doesn't come with emotional consent right now. It's really hard. I want to ask you to take a very bold step this morning. We want to pray with you if you need to forgive someone. You don't have to mention the name to the facilitator, but someone wants to help you. And you know, if you need to get over the line with us, we're going to have a prayer pot here. I'm going to lead you here this morning. If you know, just your first step of faith, that it's important that you take that step and forgive this morning, put your hand up very high. So that's me. I can relate with that. Thank you for those hands. Be brave, everyone. Be brave. Is there anyone else? I know. You've been thinking about it. It's been tormenting you. This morning, you're going to be helped. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to stand, come and stand right in front of me. One, two, three. Let's move in this place. Quickly, quickly, take your courage. Thank you. Let's give these people a clap. I want all the facilitators, small group leaders, to come and help us. Come and help us this morning. Then I want to invite you, if you want to, oh, thank you for making your way, everyone. Someone will receive you here in front. If you need to, you want to really just receive Jesus' forgiveness again in your life, I want you to come this side. We're giving you an opportunity for that. Okay. If that is you, please be bold. Someone here, Pastor Andres is also here, and Andres will pray with you and help you. Just don't want you to leave this place. If you know that the Lord has got His hand out, but you want to put your hand out as well. Father, this morning as we dismiss this meeting, we pray that you'll continue this work of forgiveness in each and every life, and that you'll take us to a higher view of forgiveness, the way of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Everyone, I've pushed you to the limit in terms of time. You guys are welcome to leave, but we have time to pray in front. So please come out and pray with us. Thank you for making some space for the parking. Hang around, pray with someone, and the Lord bless you.